This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, with mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
I know that you've been fooling around on me right from the start. So I'll take back my ring and I'll take back my heart. And when you're tired of fooling around with two or three.
Yeah, when you're done fooling around with two or three, you know what you do, baby? Come fool around with me and my co-host Chris Switzer on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive country bent music station here on Long Island. How are you, Chris? Yeah, I don't know what you... Yes, Motormouth Radio. We're starting off again.
Oh, yeah, with a thud.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Like,
you know what kind
of... Like
tell
a
you?
Herd of turtles here. Yeah, there was a tear in my beer. I was...
It's going to get better. Don't worry. It's going to get better.
Ooh, I'm sure of that. I was watching my truck rust there for a second.
Yeah, baby. Ye doggy. So... We are alive again, Motormouth Radio, and you can get a hold of us. You can be part of this by calling 516-572-7440. Check us on the web, Motormouth Radio, on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook, and Instagram is real_Motormouth Radio.
And yes.
You can see kind of the things that we've, well, not the things we've been getting involved in lately, because social media's been kind of quiet, because I haven't had time to... post anything, but hey, and Al says on the TV he's got us I guess he's got us streaming.
Oh, wow.
On a service, which is cool. Yeah we're streaming all over the place.
Oh yeah, it's a good stream too.
Well, you know what, the Flomax helps since since Al mentioned it. Yeah, nccradio.org, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Audacity, the WHPC app. You can go to our website, motormouthradio.com, and you can live stream it right from there as well. And you can hear older shows and things like that too, some archival stuff like we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
We're just men of
archives.
A lot
of fun.
Speaking of men of archives, I meant to drop this last week. I forgot. You know, one of my buddies had told me, he says, hey, you didn't get your patch. Where's your patch? I'm like, what patch? Because you're supposed to get your new patch. It says your Romeo patch. I'm like, my Romeo patch? I'm like,
Romeo patch.
Those days are like a little bit of, what are you talking about, Romeo? He goes, yeah. Retired old men eating out. Romeo. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
Retired old men eating out.
I said, you know what? I like that.
We're gonna find you and a whole bunch of other buddies all sitting around the McDonald's drinking the black coffee and talking about those old days. Yeah, I remember when I used to smoke Lucky Strikes and get on the ground.
Well, I tell you, talking with our buddy Cliff and Cliff's buddy Rick, that we've become good friends, and I was speaking with him this week about some different things, and he says, yeah, you know, hey, we got to get together during the week and have breakfast or lunch or something. And I'm like, yeah, sure, hey, well, let me know. You know, it's like I'm usually free between shopping trips with the wife or work at the shop, which has picked up again a little bit, so...
Shop picking up, has that happened?
Yeah, and there's a couple in the wings now, which is good, too, so... So that's good. But, the other thing I wanted to tell you about was I'd service, of course, my daughter's car, her SUV. Right. And her fiancé brought it over last week for a much-needed oil change.
Oh, was it coming out like in glops?
Not that bad. Well, you know, I change that oil at 4,000 miles on these cars. Mm-hmm. I'm doing about 4,000. Even with synthetic oil, I'm doing 4,000.
Okay, good.
And if I end up going to 5, no biggie, right? Well, her truck ended up going to 7. So they were kind of freaking. So I drained the oil and it came out, you know, nice and black, but liquid. And the filter was, you know, I watch YouTube videos where the filter looks like they put icing on it, like, you know, oil covered icing.
It's so bad that it actually gets bypassed.
But that's like 30,000 miles that happens. So I showed Kevin, I said, let me show you something. I said, I would lay money that this oil is not bad. It's good. He goes, what do you mean? It went 7,000. I'm like, I have a device in my garage.
Ooh.
And I'm going to show you this device. And of course, that is the, tell's the name of it. It's on the old website because we did
the LubriCheck.
That's what it is. The LubriCheck, which is a little transducer. You put some oil on it and it measures the light passage through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we put some oil on there. And of course, it showed a number, like, does LEDs go from 1 to 10? One being like brand new oil, which I proved by brand new oil out of the cap,
right?
And 10.
You
being,
got the same cough I have.
Yeah, I know. And it came in as a 3. I'm like, he's like, no. I'm like, let's do it again. Dumped it out, cleaned it, used some new oil to check it. Yes, it was good. Went back to his oil, and it was 3. I said, Kevin, this oil is still good. I said, and it bolsters the thought that people have said for a long time, professional otherwise, that as a country, we change our oil too much.
Yes.
Keeping us dependent on oil, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. Whomever came up with the 3,000-mile oil change was a genius and a what would you say, a miracle economist.
Right.
Because, yeah, we spend a lot of money on oil. And you know what? I do it, too. I will change oil 3,000-4,000 miles now. And I still do it religiously. But I must admit, my engine's clean.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah. And mine, too. So we kind of we got through that, and I said, okay, at least we're done. And then, well, I had I used my new lift jacks, right? The jack supports I bought. So I wanted to rotate the tires like I always do. And while I had them off, I said, let me crack the bleeders, just do a little gravity bleed on the brakes. Because what's happening is they may be relocating down to the Carolinas.
Oh, boy.
And maybe as early as the beginning of next year.
Ooh.
So long, Rob. So because of that, I said, hey, this could be the last time I service this vehicle.
Oh, my gosh.
So until I'm down there, you know, which who knows when that's going to be. But so I ended up doing a brake flush. I just got my vacuum pump out and just, you know, got all the brake flush. And I was every step of the way, I kept telling him, listen, when you're down there, if you need to get serviced, I'm going to see if I can line him up with somebody that, you know, that I know that can maybe help him out.
Oh, I said, that would be a smart idea.
You're not going to get anybody who's going to do this. And I said, many times if you ask them to do this, they're going to say they did it and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I said, and it's important to do, you know, because brake fluid is like any other fluid. I said, it's, you know, it absorbs moisture and it gets old and bad.
It has a lifespan, just like every other fluid. Whether you believe what they say or not, it has a lifespan.
Right.
And
then when we got around to, what do you call it, putting it all back together, and I put the wheels on, and I got my torque wrench, I said, here's another thing you're not going to see people do. A lot of people are not going to torque your wheels down.
Right.
And I said, there's ways around it. Most people don't do it, and they don't have problems. I said, you know, I have the ability to do it, so I do. And you're probably going to get a guy who's more than likely going to over-tighten them, which is worse, almost worse than under-tightening them. You know, under-tightening them, you could lose a wheel, that's bad. But over-tightening them, you won't get it off on that rainy night, you know, on the back roads where there's no, you know.
Right, when you're in the mud and you got a flat tire. Yeah, you're not going to get that tire off. That's why a lot of times when I bring a car back from a mechanic, a technician that would have to have the wheels off, the first thing I do, or one of the first things I do, is literally take the lug nuts off and put them back on with a crowbar, star wrench. Yep. I will do that because of that very same fear.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be out there in the mud, because I'll tell you the truth, if I can't get the lug nuts off that rim with the flat tire, I'm driving it with that flat tire.
Sure.
I'll eat the, I'll lunch the rim. Mm-hmm. I don't care. At that point, I won't care. So yeah, it's, and let me tell you, just talk about flat tires for 1 second on the tracker. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's moaning right now. Oh, not the tracker.
Nah, people love the tracker. Come on.
Let me tell you, I had to use the spare tire on that car, which, mind you, was original. It was never taken off the back of the car. So I was able to use the spare. But when I went to go put the spare back on, I must have inflated it to a certain PSI because it's a spare. I think it had like 15 pounds when I took it off the rim. So I first inflated it correctly before using it.
It's a space saver?
No.
A regular one, okay.
Just a regular tire. But when I tell you I could not get the tire cover, mm-hmm. that kind of pleather plastic zip.
I fight with that RAV4 all the time, right?
And I know you have one too, right, on the RAV. Well, does it have the plastic cover, or does it have the flexible kind of like pleather cover? Or does it have the plastic dog dish?
Yes.
Yeah, as both?
Hers has a combination. The front, the cover you see is a plastic, and then the sides are kind of a pleather with elastic around it. But what you do is first, on top of the tire, between the tire and the rear window, there's a zipper. And you unzip this crescent-shaped flap, and then you just kind of get behind it and grab the elastic and wiggle it. Because I have to do that. I'll do that just to check.
Can I see you wiggle that again?
You just kind of wiggle.
Oh, that was
so
good.
Just to check the air in that tire, I make sure that when I mount that tire on the back, I have the valve facing up at the top.
Right, because you can reach behind it.
Right. Well, then I got to wiggle that thing and pull the top of the cover off just to get access. And that's a pain in the neck, but I do it. Now on
I like the way you wiggle that thing.
I know. Cool. Everybody does. The neighbors love it, too. But now on the FJ... That was a solid cover, if I remember, because right now that lives in my shed, because I said, this is coming off. I'm taking this thing off. The FJ was harder to put on and off. The RAV4 was no picnic, but the FJ gave me more fits, and I said, that's it. I'm taking it off, throw it in the shed. I don't need it.
Just let I don't blame you. And the funny thing is, on the tracker, the pleather cover, which is ripping to shreds even as we speak, but that cover is attached to the bracket that's attached to the rear door of
the
car.
Wow.
You can't take the cover off separately and just toss it aside. No, it's part of the car.
Oh, wow.
So you got to put the tire on and then do that wiggle shimmy to get that pleather cover on and then try and zip it up. Oh, maron to me.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, just going to rip the cover off the bracket.
Yeah.
That holds the whole affair on the back of the door. I was like, this thing is impossible.
Right.
But I was able to wiggle it just a little bit. Anyway. So that was my, I was just curious as to your lament when it came down to spare tires on these little chick trucks.
Oh yeah. It's never fun. Never fun.
I hearken to the old days. I pull the tire off, throw it in the trunk.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I had some fun. One of the jobs at the shop that had to get done this week was the NASCAR. You know, Mike owns this real NASCAR car, which is cool. It was a Dick Trickle's car. It has his name above the door and all. And it was, and you know, some of the guys, when we were doing the cars and coffee over there, some of the guys that came over that are real NASCAR and race aficionados, we had the car to lift, so they were looking at it and seeing that it was a legitimate race car. You know,
it was a legitimate thick pickle.
Yeah, exactly. The only difference is they did take out the NASCAR spec motor and transmission and put in another small block, which is kind of a hot motor. It really is. It's not like a grocery getter motor. It sounds, especially with open headers, it sounds pretty cool.
I'm surprised this thing wasn't just a pushmobile.
No. It runs. So at the Autoseum, I had gotten it running a few years ago. Mike got tires for it because they're real, you know, race tires. And he actually drove it around the parking lot. He was out there cruising around in it. Now,
that's amazing.
I say, you know, I put a shifter in that car just a little while ago. I've been in that. Mike drove it. Well, remember, it's a race car. The doors don't open, so you need to climb in the window.
Right.
And if you forget that screwdriver, you got to climb back out, and then you forget that. No, I forgot the drop light car. What a pain in the nuts.
Oh, wow.
So anyway.
You were Bo and Luke Duke.
Yeah. I was Sword Duke is what I was. So, Icky
you
Duke.
Were Puke Duke.
I was Uncle Icky. So, now the car had to be, we had to get it running again, which I did. And there's a new guy in the shop, a fairly new guy, and he hasn't been around. So, he was always looking at that thing like, huh? You know, it became a parts bench. There was stuff all over it. You know, it's like any flat surface. So, I said to him, yeah, I'm going to get this thing running. He's like, oh, yeah. He says, your race car, I'm like, it's going to be loud. And he's like, oh, yeah? Well, when I fired it up, open headers, and we're in the shop, and it was backed in, so all the noise was going back. He was in, you had to see him. He was like, hey, rev it up. just like my friend in Bayside. So,
wow, I figured he'd be running for the door.
Well, then the thing that had to happen is we had to bring it out of the shop and park it next to the shop. And, you know, cover it and give it its winter sleep because we had to bring, you know, another car in.
Right. So you're storing it basically a natural.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was like the only guy that could get in and drive the thing, you know, and so I did. And then I noticed like, wow, you know, when I pressed the brake, now I had the front calipers off and I inspected them and I looked at everything and everything was fine. Everything was where it should be, fluid in the car. Brake pedal went down to the floor, and I had to pick it up with my foot. There was like no brakes. So now I'm yelling out the window to the guys like with open headers, hey, I don't have any brakes. Get a block of wood to throw under the tires, you know, to stop me because I don't have a brake, and there's no emergency brake.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Fred Flintstone. Get a block of wood.
Yeah, a nice 4x4 does it.
So you were rolling at the point that you've realized that you didn't have brakes?
Well, at first I did, and then I said, look, I knew I had to put it in gear to propel it out of the shop, and at that point, I knew I could pop it in neutral, but it's like, that's when you throw the block of wood, you know, because there's a street out there with cars. So, well, let's...
I'm just amazed that you're at your planning.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Just exceptional. Yes, but go ahead.
Okay, so let's just leave it to say the message didn't get received quite well.
Because you didn't say yabba-dabba-doo.
And I put it in gear, and I start rolling out of the shop, and I feel the car kind of lurched. It was going, and I'm like, oh, my God. And everybody's standing there. There's no blocks of wood in sight. So what do? I take the shifter, and it's a lot tighter gate than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was putting it, you know, up into neutral, but it went into reverse. And I shot backwards. And then as soon as I shot backwards, I took the shifter, I threw it back into gear again. So I was like back. And of course, I hit my toolbox and pinned it against the wall. But that kind of stopped some of the rearward motion.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because I'm thinking you're going in reverse back into the shop. Seems a lot worse.
Yeah, and well, then I went forward out of the shop. And then I said, okay, you know, it's funny how your mind can calculate in times of duress and stress and imminent death. And I said, okay, I'm heading to Merrick Road here. I can't go out into the road. I have no brakes. I could have just jammed into traffic and drove around a block. That would have been kind of cool. But anyway,
probably
I didn't. So as I eclipsed the door of the shop, I didn't want to throw it in reverse again. So I kind of threw it up into neutral or maybe hit reverse. I don't know. And then I had the presence of mind. I went over. It's got a bank of switches. There's one major kill switch and a bank of switches. And I just killed the ignition.
I was going to ask you when you were going to do that.
Right then.
Good.
Right then.
And, I was like, why? My question was, why didn't you shut it off?
So then I climbed out and we pushed the car back into the spot where it had to go. And I said, okay, we're done.
Done. Right. We'll see who stole the master cylinder out of this thing.
That's going to be you know, well, the problem is all those components are real race car components.
Right.
And you don't go to Pep Boys and buy these parts. I told Mike, I said, hey, you know what? I said, you may have to send me down to Mooresville. I may have to go take a run down there and visit some of these shops to get some parts because, you know, it's a single pot master, which is kind of interesting. It's not a dual. You know,
really?
Yeah, it is.
I would have not have thought it was just a single pot that would run the whole brake system.
I wouldn't have either, but there's just one. and everything is done with AN fittings. It's all done, top shelf, NASCAR grade, but it's like there were no leaks, no runs. It's like, well, maybe that master failed. Like, where are we going to get that? You're not going to go into the parts store and say, I need this, you know, for my NASCAR.
No, you're definitely going to have to order it from somewhere down south, that's for sure.
I don't know. Or maybe take it apart and see if it can be repaired. I don't know. Yeah, we haven't got to that yet. That'll be probably a springtime project.
Right, because right now it's snoozing right now, I'm hoping.
Yeah. But it runs. It runs. So that's
wow.
Yeah.
So excitement abound.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a little bit of fun that you can have any day in any shop. That's kind of a specific, that's only a special thing.
Right. And the new guy is probably going, wow, I'm in with a bunch of crazy people here.
Right.
I had something a lot less exciting, though.
Oh, good.
Transmissionally.
Okay.
Because I'm having trouble shifting the tracker when it's cold. Okay, it will shift out from first to second. It used to not do it at all.
Right.
When it was cold.
This is the follow-up to the shift solenoid saga.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Now I'm getting it to shift when it's cold at 4,500 RPM.
Oh, that's not good.
4,500, boom, and then she shifts, and then you get the speed sensor light, and then you get the P0722 code.
Uh-huh.
So it shifts. Now, mind you, it doesn't slip.
Right.
Because we have hills here in the Nutmeg State. I'm able to put the car on a hill and send it up the hill when it's warm, and it's fine, right?
Right.
But, and it also worked when it's cold.
Uh-huh.
You can actually get it on a hill. You're in first gear. So, I mean, maybe the bands are hard as a rock. That could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a point of contention. But someone had suggested take a look at the ground strap on the transmission.
Okay.
And I'm like, there's a ground strap on a transmission? You got to be kidding me on this little thing. I didn't realize it. So I get under there, and sure as shooting, there is a ground strap.
I'm always
it's
game
not
that.
It's very what austere. It's a small little wire,
right?
That runs from the back of the tranny. There's a little eyelet off one of the bolts, and it runs right to the frame. But of course, it runs to the top of the frame.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling up there, and I can't see it, but I'm feeling it, and it is so rusty and so corroded that the bolt is literally like a rusty mound.
Okay.
You can feel it. There's no edges left on it.
Right.
It's just this, and this blob, this kind of like this hard solid blob runs down. You can feel the wire off it.
Right.
So I said, what?
Yeah, I got a feeling I know what you were going to do with it, and I know what I would do with it. So.
Well, here's what I did with it.
Okay.
I was able to get on there with a wrench, and I actually was not able to get that bolt off, but I got the wire in my hand.
Yeah.
With no eyelet, though.
Right. No.
Just the case, the back part of the eyelet, the crimped part.
Yeah.
That was it. So I was able to snip the wire, trim it, get another eyelet that I pressed back on to the wire, mm-hmm. drilled a new hole, and scarred it up so I got some clean metal.
Yeah.
Cleaned everything up and put it on there. And you know what? It didn't work.
Okay. All right. Just so you know, and other people know, there's that was just a piece of braided wire, like regular stranded wire, rather. I'm sorry.
It was a gauged wire. It wasn't. It was a thick gauge. It wasn't like a regular,
right.
You would see like a braided.
No. So it wasn't like, so it was close to 12 gauge. Was it that thick?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would say it was about that.
Because what you can buy in the parts stores, Standard Motors sells these. It's a braided ground strap. That's, flat and has a width to it. And they sell them in different lengths. I think it's like 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. And mm-hmm. I've used those with great success on a lot. Because now it's totally flexible. You can bend it. It's highly conductive. And they're not a lot of money. They really are. It's a great buy for the buck. So I don't have the part numbers handy. I have them at home, though. And I could always share them with people who want to know.
I actually have one that's brand new. I don't even know where I got it from. But it was too short.
Okay.
I was actually looking at it. I was measuring it up, and I'm like, "So I'll just fix the existing wire and see what that does."
Yeah,
and of course, it didn't really do much.
Well,
but now I was,
You may have learned something. You may have learned exactly why the car was parked.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, totally. No, I am, believe me, I am not the least bit angry over this.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see a car that's been parked, you know that the second you start it up, you're going to find what was wrong with it and the reason why it was parked at that very moment. So I'm with you on this. This is not a, but it's nice to know that it still has a lot of good attributes. It's just I have to fix these little nagging problems. You know, they're not bad. Because the car still runs great. I still drive it. It's still a great
car. One of the things I would do is I would jump on the internet and look up TSBs, any known TSBs for that vehicle, and you may find some transmission ones. And they're usually, you know, then you can usually follow up and see what the recommended fixes were and see if it's like something that can be done with components or was it, you know, change the transmission, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, there are those. I've seen those change the transmission.
Right.
But a lot of them are, the symptoms are different. There's shifting in from three to four is an issue. Slippage is an issue. Not coming out of first gear at all is an issue.
Right.
Things like that. So, yeah, there are, we're still repairing and praying. At the same time,
I got you.
But it doesn't. Even if I have to pull the box out, I will. Not crazy about that because it's kind of it's a handful. It's most of the under that car is transmission. If you ever see under the car,
yeah,
it's pretty beefy. But it's you can get your arms around it and drag it down. So it's not really the hard part will be getting the car up in the air high enough.
Well, that's the kind of job that I recommend to people that there's no shame in farming out something like that because go to a professional like, you know, like our friend Pat, like the guy that does that every day is the best guy to do it because not only can they do it faster and more effectively than you, they can do it. You know, they have all the equipment in the facility and they're, you know,
they have a lift
and they can make the repair. Sure. If there's a repair to be made or yeah.
No, that's for sure. And that's what I'm hoping that it's not the box itself. And what's nice about this box is it's all electronically controlled. It's not hydraulically controlled.
Yeah.
So it's, you have it.
Well, there's fluid. There is fluid inside. So it's,
It's
electric over hydraulic. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not controlled hydraulically. Mm-hmm. Like that in the older models it was where the hydraulics would actually be controlling the shift, so you would have more reliance of the
no that was the
things
K-car.
Like
huh that was a Chrysler the Reliant yeah different brand
no a Reliance yeah. Not the Reliant. Another lemon.
Yeah.
So that was my excitement. Was lying on the ground.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're burning time. And I got to tell you today, it's a little bit chilly out there today. Our weather is brought to us by Pantano's Gourmet in Hewlett Uniondale Garden City Park. So today we are experiencing some nice chilly temps. It's about a high of 38 going to be today. Mix of sun and clouds. It's pretty sunny out on a Sunday. Yes. Mm-hmm. A little gusty. Tonight's supposed to be
pretty Sunday out.
Yeah, it's pretty Sunday out today. It's supposed to be clear with a low of 26 tonight. Of course, where you are, it'll be 10 degrees colder. So we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And, it's going to get nicer during the week, but it's not going to be beautiful. The balmy weather is gone for a while. So while you're stuck in the house, you have nothing to do. You should have done this last night. So I'll remind you for next week.
Oh, okay. What?
Fridays at 6 p.m. Everything and anything. You can pretty much do everything and anything in your house.
Sure.
You do? Just do it. I don't care. You know, just go out and do it. No.
That's the best fun you can have with your clothes on.
Hosted by our friend Steve Mangracina. Steve's a great guy. He plays the lost hits and misses from the rock era, along with the hits from obscure artists and forgotten songs by rock and roll superstars, as well as music from current hit makers.
And I especially like when he argues with Rob Leonard, and we find it on our promos.
You know, isn't that the best? Isn't that the best when he does that? That is fantastic. So another thing I want to tell you about is the Christmas through holiday toy drive. Donate an unwrapped toy, and you can bring a smile to a child this season. Plus, you can see Santa and drop off letters. I don't know why you wouldn't just give it to him. Why do I have to drop him in the mailbox? Give him the day. Hey, Santa, take my letter. This is coming up Saturday, December 3rd, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at John Burns Park in Massapequa. Rain date is Sunday, December 4th. And it's sponsored by Toys for Tots, the USMC Toys for Tots, and Supervisor Joe Saladino and the town of Oyster Bay. So, with that said, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Well, to celebrate the impending cold, of course we do, here at Motormouth Radio. And the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour, if you have an affection for Swedish cars, does your boxy Volvo with all its safety features and bank vault build quality still make your heart race? Are you still heartbroken over the death of the Saab brand? Do you still miss cleaning all the crumbs out of the ignition key lock on the floorboards between the seats? I remember doing that.
Yeah.
Do you wish to secretly mortgage the house to purchase a Koenigsegg so you can boast you have a vehicle that will reach a top speed of 250 miles an hour and will have no place to test that limit?
No, boy.
Well, if you still admit to having an affection for the sweet Swedes, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week.
You were almost one of them, because I remember when you were going to buy the old Saab story. And I can remember that day in the studio on a Thursday where Joe D called and said, "You're going to do what?" And he said, "You know, you might as well walk over to the studio door, stick your appendage of choice in it, and slam it as hard as you want because it won't hurt as bad." And you went, okay.
And you gave me grief as well. You told me, "You're going to buy an Edsel. You're the only one who's going to buy an Edsel because it's cheap."
Right, right.
Meanwhile, I'll take that Edsel.
All right, so look, we're going to go back to our featured artist today, the Derailers. This came out of Infinity Records stash. This is, you know, I took a chance on this. It says Under the Influence of Buck, and I'm like, what? Yeah,
what?
13 Buck Owens cover songs on here by this band. That's who we're listening to. These guys, I think you'll agree, nailed it. You know, and this was from a radio station. This was a radio station promo from KUZZ.
K-U-Z-Z.
I don't know where cuz is.
Wow, I got to look that up.
Yeah, but it's K-U-Z-Z. It's probably an AM station. Oh, there it is. AM 55 and FM 107.9. I don't know what, you know, where. But anyway, that's from K-U-Z-Z. So
let's look. K-U-Z-Z.
I was going to actually roll this into the next story after the NASCAR. Was we had Mike Buick in the shop, and I thought that with the problems that it had in the past and what he was explaining to me now, I had a red flag in my head to say I thought the timing chain had skipped. There was a problem with it, or that the gears were bad. And that's
now, which Buick are we talking about?
The blue one, the 68 Skylark.
The 68?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's what my gut told me because of what I had seen in the past and what he was telling me now. And I was just waiting for the shoe to drop before it was time for the repair. And I thought this was time. And it ends up that may not have been it, but it was it's a perfect song to play. So on 90.3 WHBC, let's do it. Sing along if you like.
Oh, my heart skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel trembling in my knees, and just to know your mind.
Whoa. These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. So cool.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Yo, You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouths!
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouths!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motor Mouths!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend.
I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
I feel trembling in my knees, and just to know
I get a tremble in my knees, too, when I hear stuff like this. I don't know about you, but... So I found a new favorite CD. This is one of my new favorites. There was another one that's very good, too, so... Thank you. Thank you, Derailers, for providing. And thank you, Joe, for the great musicality from, like I said, from the film.
The Derailers. I like it.
Yeah. I was reading the liner notes, and it's a group of, look at this. Look at these guys.
Oh, boy.
A bunch of white guys, just these that you would never, I wouldn't pick them out of a lineup. One of them looks like Josh Rogan. I mean, these guys do not look like, I would think.
Nope.
If you ask me what guys in a country band that are doing Buck Owens covers look like, it wouldn't be these guys.
Right, but if you asked which guy is going to sell you an Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Right, but I tell you, but they nailed it. They really nailed it. So that's good. So
516-572-7440 is our phone number to get a hold of us right here at Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah.
We're still taking calls and
stuff. We got a live one. What's up, caller? You got the Motor Mouths.
Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, happy Thanksgiving.
Robert, happy Thanksgiving.
Last time I got derailed was at the 1890s.
Oh, on Grand Avenue in Baldwin?
No, it was not good.
No, was that where it was?
Yeah.
I've been there. Yep, I've been there.
You get, one type of derailment you never forget.
Well, I don't know what your experience was. Mine was... maybe different. Mine involved, I think, a street race on the way home. Actually, that was pretty cool. One time we left there, me and my friend Gerard, and he had his Challenger, I had my GTO, and we actually took off down Sunrise Highway. Well, of course, we're street racing. It's late at night, and there's red lights flashing behind us. So
there you go.
He pulls over, and I didn't. I booked it. I said, I know the side streets back home. I'm going like subterranean. And it ended up the guy that pulled him over was a Mopar fan, luckily. So asking him all about his car and what was in it and let him go. Actually let him go. Who was that guy that was, I don't know, never saw him before. I'll be looking for him. Like, oh, great.
So I wanted to share a quick story with you.
Okay.
I'm coming out of the credit union 2 weekends ago. And I see this car, and it's just stuck in traffic. And I go, I have never seen that car before.
Wow.
So I read the fender, and it says 427 on the front fender of a 68 Chevy Bel Air.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen them. Yeah. Those you could get the 427s in the big cars. Some of them had four speeds, too.
Mm-hmm. Great story here. I was able to get alongside of him in the traffic.
Uh-huh.
And I go, I said, I've been in town forever. I've never seen his car.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, where are you from? He goes, I'm from South Hempstead.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He goes, I was chasing this car for 35 years, and I had to buy the house from the estate to get the car.
Wow.
Wow.
That's something.
So I said, I can't believe I've never seen it.
And it's a 60.
So,
a 60. What color is it?
27.
Yeah.
It was a 68, but the Bel Air was the entry level model then, right?
Right.
Biscayne was always the entry level. Biscayne was entry level. Bel Air was above it.
Biscayne, Bel Air, Impala.
They made a couple of different, like a post or a semi fastback in that car.
Yes, that's true too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this had the thin post on where the B pillar, if you will.
So it was a sport roof. It was a coupe. Yeah, a coupe.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was built for speed. That was the guys would buy those because they felt they were more rigid than the hard tops.
So I'm like, is this a motion car? He goes, this is a motion car, and Chevy also raced this car.
Oh, does he have provenance documentation to prove that?
Wow.
This guy was 5 years older than me. He was no joke.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes, I have the dash signs, and he knew the owner of Motion personally.
Okay.
He goes, he's in Florida.
That's correct.
Still keep touching.
That's correct.
Keep touching base with him.
What color is that car, Bob?
The color of the car was, I'm trying to give a better description on a blue. It was a stock Chevy blue. It had a little bit of primer here and there.
Yeah.
But it was all original faded Chevy paint.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll keep my eye out for it because I run around the area, so I'd like to see that one myself.
It was just a great story. Nice guy, too. Cool. Too bad I couldn't, park with him.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, that's my car of the week.
Excellent. Well, that's a good one. When you get them, you get good ones. That's for darn sure.
That's a really good car of the week, that's for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
It's no track. It's no tracker, though.
No tracker.
No, we're not in the same league.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Bob. Same to you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob. Bye. Be safe.
Right. So long. All right, that's great. That's cool. Yeah, those big old cars, those big blocks are great cars.
That's for sure.
So the Buick.
Tell me about that.
If you remember, I talked about it. It's got to be back. It's months ago, I guess, early summer-ish.
You said the car had an issue with idling.
Yes.
Right?
Mike came back. It had a drive, and that car was turnkey perfect.
And he was using it too, right?
And that's
it
wasn't what he was driving. So they had a problem with it. The car had a muffler explosion. Ba-boom. Oh. Blew the muffler out of it. Went to the shop in Limburg. Then it wouldn't run right. They put a carburetor on it. It still wasn't running right. So I get it, and I looked at the car, and I found something very peculiar. When I put my tack dwell on it and timing light, I was trying to adjust the dwell. It's supposed to be 28 to 32 degrees, so I'm trying to adjust it at 30, which I always shoot for the middle. And I couldn't get the car to run worth beans at 30 degrees of dwell. But if I brought it down to 20 degrees of dwell, which actually opens the points more, leaves them open longer, the car smoothed out and ran. And mm-hmm. I have a video of it. I sat in the car, got the key, and turned it, and it just went boom, like just fired. As soon as you hit the key, it fired, right? No cranking at all. And I'm like, this thing starts exactly where I'd want it to, but it's at 20 degrees of dwell, not 30. And I couldn't explain it, and I started thinking maybe the timing chain is starting to creep or the nylon was going bad.
Right.
So I told Mike this. I said, right now, I drove it. It's not backfiring anymore. It had a little bit of a hesitation off of a start, like a lot of older cars do, which I'm waiting to see now if that's gone. I won't know till tomorrow. But he drove it. I said, just keep driving it. I said, we may have to wait for something else to fail before we can really go further. And I really don't want to pull the whole Buicks are a pain in the neck to pull apart in the front. Everything.
Oh, yeah, you think?
Yeah.
I had no problem with mine.
I didn't have a problem. It's just a lot of stuff. Chevys are easier to take apart than the Buicks.
Well, yeah, that is true. Hey, speaking of which, did you check the stretching of the timing chain. Did you put a timing light on the crank?
I did.
If you see the mark wander,
correct?
It will. That's a telltale sign,
yeah,
right?
And it wasn't. So again, I said maybe this has to get worse. Maybe this is the onset and it has to get worse before something happens. Now, the problem, you know, when I had my Riviera, I had a dual muffler explosion in that car, two shotgun blasts, and it ended up I had some bad valves, some burned valves. So I actually bought a camera, you know, a scope camera with a long lead, and I actually scoped the Buick through the plug holes to see if I could see valves. And I couldn't get a smoking gun on that either. So again, I didn't take it apart. I'm not going to take it apart until I get some data.
I'm going back quite a bit, but I did have a muffler explosion on my 68 Electra.
Right.
And the issue, I chased that thing for months, and I found, and I'm trying to remember why, and I'm sure you can probably explain this better than I can, but I found one of the stems on the starter motor.
Right.
Loose. And because it was loose, it dropped the eyelets, dropped and grounded out.
Wow.
So it wouldn't start right away. It would take forever to crank this thing over.
Uh-huh.
And once it started, boom, I got a shot out the back. And like you, that was it. I had the duals on it.
Right.
And I bent both of them.
Well, that's a whole different issue. So nothing, all that checked out on this car. So now months go by, and now Mike told me again, he goes, listen, it's not running right. It's not reliable. I'm having trouble with it. You know, so the order of the day was, let's get the NASCAR out of the shop so we can get the Buick in. So I'm like, hey, you know, when the boss speaks, you listen. So I said, okay,
you do it.
Got the NASCAR out. The Buick was waiting right there. So we pulled it right in. And you know, first I said, let's go for a ride. Let's go for a ride. I want to see what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, Mike said to me, well, here, you drive. I'm like, no, you drive because you drive it all the time. I want to see what you're seeing through your inputs, not through mine.
Right.
Because it can be different. And, you know, the car drove okay. It was a little sluggish. And I felt that little hesitation when he would just, you know, hit the gas a little. It would give a little bit of a hitch and then it would go. But if he hit when we came out of the shop, he hit the gas and the tires were squealing. You know, so that was, I said, okay, well, we got power. So I said, okay, it feels maybe a little off, but not crazy. So I pulled the carburetor. The choke wasn't working either. So I had trouble with that magnetism. Pulled all that off the other day. He wanted me to change the plugs. Did that. And he wanted me to put another set of points in. Because when I found the 20-degree issue, I said, maybe these points they looked a little burned. They were crazy looking. And I went into the shop and they looked like a new set of a newer version of the Uniset, you know, the points in the condenser together.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And the newer points I've heard bad things about. So I went in the shop and I had the distributor that was out of the other Mike's GTO, the point style. And I took the points out of that, put it in the Buick, and then it ran better. Albeit at 20 degrees as well, but it ran much better.
Right.
So now he had a brand new set of Blue Streak points. I said, okay. So I went in my parts stash at home. So I got to have a parts stash. And I found a condenser and bracket because now we're not using the Uniset. So I got the condenser, put that in yesterday, put the plugs in, and fired it up. I did the carburetor work, made the adjustments that I wanted to make, played with the choke. We fired right up. I put the Tactile on it. Boom. I set the points at 16 thousandths dwell. 16 thousandths of a gap, rather. Start up and boom. 30 degrees of dwell. And the car
was
smooth as silk.
Wow.
I put the timing light on. The timing was a little retarded. In fact, I showed Mike on the vacuum gauge I put on. It was a little, you know, the red zone, the green zone starts around like 16, 18 pounds and 20 is where it should be. This was like a little below, about 15. And it says right there, late ignition timing. And I said, you see, Mike, this is kind of backing up my theory about the chain because when the chain shifts, it alters the timing.
Right.
So I put my light on it, and I saw that the timing was a little retarded. So I advanced it to top dead center where it should be, double-checked the dwell, and we couldn't drive it because we're changing an alternator, and I had to wait for that, so I couldn't weren't running the water pump. So tomorrow, when the alternator comes in, I'll be able to put it together, and we're going to take it out and drive it. And I think, and I'm hoping, that solves all the problems.
Very cool. So it wasn't the timing chain then.
Exactly. So sometimes, you see, you go with your gut. Like I was thinking the valves, then I was thinking the chain, and both of those were wrong. I don't think it was the wrong direction to think, but that's why I didn't pull the heads off when I thought it was valves. And I didn't rip the front of the motor apart when I thought it was a timing chain. I wanted to diagnose. And to be clear, what I did with the plugs out of the motor, oh, this is tough on a Buick, 15 16ths deep socket and ratchet on the crank. Now you got to get between the fan. That's the hard part.
Uh-huh.
And what I did was the beauty is the distributors.
To crank the motor, yeah.
The distributors in the front. So as you crank the motor, you wait to see how long it takes for the rotor to move. That's because the thing in the middle is the timing chain between the crank and the cam.
Right.
And you're always going to get some lag. You always will.
No, so I don't know.
You know, had a little bit, and then I went backwards on the ratchet, moved it back the other way. So you go back and forth, and I didn't see what I would consider appreciable lag. I saw normal lag.
Okay.
And then, like I said, put it together, and the car started right up, and I said, yeah, not the chain.
Now, I don't know if the 350, because that's a 350 in that car,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
I had the 430 in the 68.
And I had the 455,
Electra,
yeah.
And it had a nylon crank.
A coating on the gear.
Not a crank gear.
No, the cam gear.
Cam gear.
Right.
It was nylon.
Right.
And I was picking white teeth junk. Look like teeth, really.
It's nylon coated. I actually brought that gear to the shop yesterday to show Mike because the big block that I put, it was out of an Impala I put in my Monte Carlo years ago. Mm-hmm. Just for good measure, I had it out of the car. I pulled the timing chain cover, and I saw the gear, which I know should have all that white nylon. There was not a speck of nylon on it, and the chain was like moving the teeth in a you know.
Oh.
One, I mean, it couldn't have got any worse. And when I pulled the pan, all that nylon was in the pump pickup.
Yep.
So I went and changed all those parts before I put it back in the car. Right. That was GM's way of quieting down, you know, timing chain noise, timing chain lift.
Right.
So it wasn't metal on metal. Right.
But meanwhile, when that nylon was gone, that means the chain is so susceptible to slip at that point.
And that's the thing.
Because the chain is that much smaller.
The thing, right.
The gear, I'm sorry, not the chain. The gear.
Exactly. And I used a link belt chain back then. But that's the thing. When I took that big block apart, I said, wow. I said, the only reason this didn't do more damage or come off or totally slip, I put two and two together. And I did that job back in the 80s. Somebody had put a wood screw in the linkage of the quadrajet to restrict opening the secondaries, right?
Oh, wow.
So whoever it was babying that car, and only because they babied it and were very, very gentle with it did that chain. Otherwise, that would have wiped out in that car.
Sure.
And gone.
Holy smokes. Yeah, the way that chain was hanging on by a thread, would have.
You know, as it is, it probably only had about, I don't know, probably only had about 8 pounds of oil pressure. You know, I never put a gauge on it prior. I only did later on. So,
but even then, because I did the same job back in the 80s, and even then, the gear that the cam gear I replaced it with was fully metal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody kept telling me, oh, it's going to be noisy.
No,
it's going to be noisy because you don't have the nylon. You don't have the Teflon. You don't have the whatever. And I'm like, I'll be fine.
The hot setup of the day was to buy a Cloyes True Roller. A double row timing chain, not a link belt. It was a double row chain. That's what everybody made belts out of and bracelets. And that was the motorcycle thing. And they kept time a lot better. There was no nylon. And you're right. They were not noisy at all.
Yeah, it was fine.
They weren't.
It was literally put the whole set, the both gears and the chain, one complete set, and hung it on there. Wasn't a problem. You know what the problem was? And this is probably on your 350 as well. The water pump bolts.
Yeah.
I remember they used the bolts that they used to go around the water pump. The small ones were designed and engineered too small. So they always broke. And I broke about three of them. That's how I got really good at tapping bolts out of holes, getting broken head bolts out of holes. It was because of those days trying to pull those water pumps. They were impossible to get off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm glad I didn't have to go there.
Yeah,
really
so am
am.
I.
You know, I mean, that engine only has 46, 47,000 miles on it.
Wow.
From 68.
Yeah,
that was a true babied car. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, very happy.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. But yeah, it's amazing how you can sit here and just thinking back about those jobs that were done 30 plus years ago. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So that was
just
kinda,
talking about those old Buicks.
That was kind of the encapsulation of my week, which was nice. And now tomorrow, the alternator comes in, and I have to switch the pulley. And it was funny. We got an alternator, and I had to reclock it because they sent it at 3 o'clock, the 3 o'clock position, not 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And,
right.
And the Buick needs to be at 12 o'clock. So I showed Mike how you split it, reload the brushes, and how you can clock the case of the alternator. I did that for years in a rebuilding shop. And when I had it open, I'm like, you know what? I don't like this stator. This stator had been overcharged. It was burned. I said, it could work. I said, you know, I could see they have new bearings, new brushes. So there's new parts in here. So it was presumably they checked the stator and they checked the diodes. I said, but it's looking a little, the stator had a repair done to it. And I tell you something, as soon as I put the alternator on and I put the battery cable back on, I heard a clicking, a click, click. I'm like, it was the regulator clicking. I'm like, that's not right. I went in the car and looked, and the generator light was on. I said,
oh, wow.
It's a bad diode in this alternator. It's a shorted diode. And right from the get-go. So I pulled it back off, said, tell the guy, send you a good one this time. And now tomorrow I have to switch it to, you know, like typical Buick fashion, it's a double pulley. Any Buick with AC always had a double pulley alternator.
So sure, because there's always air conditioning afoot somewhere.
I got to switch that over and install.
When you say clock an alternator, what do you mean real fast?
Okay, if you look at the, if you were to look at an alternator, that style GM alternator, there was a top hole where the adjusting bracket is, and the bottom hole, the big long bolt goes through, okay?
Right.
So we'll call that adjusting hole, let's say you lay it on a table and that's facing up, so that's 12 o'clock.
Right, okay? Right.
Now you look at the back of the alternator, and there's a part where you put the battery wire and where you put the plug, the charging plug.
Okay.
And that's on the back shell of the alternator. On a Buick, right, that needs to be up at top at the 12 o'clock position.
Oh, so you're popping the case,
right,
and turning it around and putting it back together. Again.
Because if it's at the 9 o'clock position, it's facing the distributor and you can't get in there. If it's at the 3 o'clock position, it's slammed into the AC compressor, and forget about the 6 o'clock position. Yeah, it's got to be a 12. Chevys are 3 or 9. So
I never realized that.
It was at 9. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll take it apart, and which was good because I got to look inside, and I said, I don't like the looks of this. And that bore itself out because, like I said, as soon as I put the battery cable on, I heard the regulator click. I'm like, now this is short. And then the generator light was glowing. I'm like, yep, bad diode.
Holy smokes. So, that's so funny because if it wasn't for the fact that you had to pull it apart to reclock it,
mm-hmm,
I mean, you would have eventually found out. But
it would have done the same thing, yeah.
Right. Your horns went up when you opened it up and went, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't too happy. So, you know, these days there aren't a lot of cores of that nature, of that vintage as there were. I mean, I told Mike, I remember the day I would do a run of Delco alternators, and we had, of course, you know, the early ones like his with the external regulator, and then there were the newer ones with the internal regulator. And you could do them both together when you know what you're doing. But sometimes you do a run of like 60 or 70, you know, and, you know, just to warm up. But I tell you what else is warmed up. Kim, she's ready to come in with Thunder Road. Best of space in the band. We're out of here, Chris. So what do we tell everybody who's waiting out in the parking lot for me?
Don't follow us home and don't try and clock your own alternator yourself. Go to a pro.
Because you'll be calling for help. Right. All right. So Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio out. We'll be back next Sunday. See ya.
See ya, bud.
90.3 WHBC.